that. I do hope that everyone has a copy of the program. In case you don't, Dombi is ready and willing to provide it. Mr. Paul, if we can have that door closed, it would assist as a great thing. Right. Comrade Minister, welcome. We are very happy to have you here. Very happy indeed. Madam DG, welcome you. The last time we met, you were a few weeks brand new into your position. I'm sure you have now settled in. Very well. We are happy to welcome you here and the delegation that you have. Comrade Minister, I'm sure we are going to have an early morning today. The exercise is very simple and straightforward. The simple exchange of information, as it always is the case for us to be able to report to Parliament on the annual report of the Compensation Commissioner for Occupational Diseases, we sometimes need this kind of interaction so that certain areas of concern or certain grey areas can be clarified, which will then assist us in writing our report to Parliament and getting clarity on some of these things. So that's how it's going to be. And we would say, Comrade Minister, as the discussions ensue, you will note down whatever issues you may need to talk to at the end. We'll give you some time, 5 minutes or so at the end. And then whatever issues that were raised during the course of the engagement that you feel you may need to talk to, we'll give you the opportunity to talk to them, and any issue that in the course of the discussion comrades might feel they need a political response, you can just note them down, and then at the end you can then respond to them. I think the person that we may from time to time seek her intervention is the Director General. I'm sure she might be called upon to assist in clarifying certain things from time to time. But otherwise, I think that's how we'll handle it. So what we're going to do, Comrade Minister, will give from your side to introduce yourself. I see National Treasury is represented, but is not represented today. And then the Auditor General's office to introduce themselves, members of Parliament, and then we then start with the formal process of the hearing. So I will hand over for the formalities of introductions, and then we take it up from there.
Thank you, Comrade Chairperson. I'll give over to the DG to introduce the team that came in from the department.
Honourable Minister. Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, we have with us the team from the Department of Health. My name is Precious Masoso. I'm the Director General of Health. I have the Commissioner of the Commission for Occupational Diseases. I have the Acting CFO with us. And I also have our parliamentary officer. If I were to say, Chair, our commissioner joined the department in June, 1st of June, 2010. She's we started around the same time, like you correctly said, Chair. I was here a few weeks. She's also started along the same time as I did. I'd also ask her to say a few words.
No, I think all we needed was to put name to face, so we know who is who. So,
Miss Mzizi,
okay,
our commissioner, and Miss Rainey, our acting chief financial officer, and Mr. Kaga, our parliamentary officer.
All right. Can we go to the Auditor General's office?
Thank you very much, Chair. On my right-hand side, far right, is Jolene Pillay, the Senior Manager for CCOD. Corneille Meiberg is the Business Executive responsible for the health portfolio. I'm Alice Miller, and on my left-hand side is our Business Executive responsible for Constitutional Stakeholders, Paul Musaka.
All right. Thanks very much. Can we, Comrade Chairperson, welcome you. This seat is always reserved for chairperson. So, if you... This one. Not at all. No, this chair reservation. All right. Can we have comrades introducing themselves? Let's start in KZN.
Good. Thank you, Chair. That's me. I'm Mark Steele, member of SCOPA.
Pete Pretorius, member of SCOPA.
Morning, Roy Ainsley, member of SCOPA.
Tapela Chilwane, member of SCOPA.
But I'm a member of Portfolio Committee for Health.
Actually, the chair of the Portfolio Committee.
Okay. Morning, Fred Mutambi, member of COPA.
Morning, Sarah Mayan, member of COPA.
Lamba Khaitu, Kenan Tevali Matlaidi, Kitokula Committee.
Tore, Inalagagas Lamrawa Tevejan. Kele lokola committee ya tlokomela matlotlo a tsamo.
All right, thank you. I'm Comrade Temba Kuti. I chair this committee. Well, I'm sure Comrade Minister, you have looked at the report, or have a sense of the report, and even the historical background or the history of how the entity has performed in the past in terms of the reports of the Auditor General, but also appreciating the mandate of the Commission in terms of the role it plays in assisting people who are already in vulnerable positions, people who are already in dire straits, and the importance of its ability to discharge of its mandate timeously and qualitatively cannot be overemphasized. And so far, all indications have been that this entity has not been able to meet its legal obligation towards its target group. And I think that is the core area of concern. And I think we'll be interested to find out what is the commissioner doing, what has been done, what is the department doing, what has been done, and from a leadership perspective, the minister, having been around and taken stock of all the entities that report to your department, what interventions are there and what support is there to make sure that the right things are done so that our people can feel that indeed change has come to their lives. But I'll hand over to Abidjan to take us through. Like I indicated, we likely to have an early morning. To depend on the responses that we get. They keep us here until after lunchtime. We'll oblige, but if we have responses that are pointed and leave all the frills and the background and the history, just respond to the questions. I'm sure it will make everybody's life much easier. Comrade Chairperson, I also would want to say that before the minister can make his intervention at the end, we'll also give you an opportunity. Even the course of the engagement, you feel the issues you would want to talk to, we'll give you that space. Yeah. All right, Comrade Tobijan.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning. Maybe, Chair, before I can even look at the focus area that I've been mandated to look into, it may be appropriate to clarify some of the things that are not certain. This thing of creation of two parallel accounting officers, one created by PFMA and the other one created by the Mines and Works Act, how do you manage it? How do you make sure that it doesn't, derail the work of the commission itself? I thought it's very important to be clarified before we can even go further. Thanks, Chair.
DG, how have we managed this?
Honourable Chair, the creation of the two parallel accounting officers' positions are a cause for concern. And we've dealt with them administratively, but we've left the accounting activities of the commission separately independent. What we do is to support to provide administrative support to the commission in terms of appointment of staff and also making sure there's allocation. But in terms of the actual financial activities of the commission itself, the commissioner is directly responsible.
Thanks.
Are we suggesting that this parallelism will just be left as is?
Chair, we've been in discussion with the Treasury, and I thought it would only be fair after we've had consultations with the minister that we consider options of having an entity that can have a direct accounting responsibility, because it creates problems in terms of the support system. At the moment, I was actually describing the current scenario, but to say that it's not ideal, particularly for the amounts that have to be dispersed and for the efficient running of the organization. I think to just have it as a trading entity, I think it's not adequate. I think the commissioner needs to be given a full powers to execute her duties and responsibilities.
Okay. Yeah, no. I want to
hear,
give him back
a follow-up on the answer that is given. We need to find out how long this scenario has existed in the department and if we have got any time frames on when to address it. Because if we keep on saying it is not ideal, but we are not doing anything about it, it means even in the coming financial year, we'll still be faced with the same problem.
Chair, for the coming financial year, I would like to share with you what we've done in preparation for this. We've actually prepared the bids for Treasury. And as for the following allocations, for the first year, we'll be allocated $18 million just to work towards the setting up of this office. For the second year, it will be $19 million to beef up the administration. The proposal that we had from Treasury in our discussion, Chair, was that in the interim, we'd actually work with the REN Mutual as part of realignment to see whether the compensation can be realigned. But like I said, Chair, it is premature at this stage to raise that. But what we thought we could do in the interim with the additional funding that we've requested from Treasury is that we beef up the office, and then there is a proposed amendment to that effect. But it's a matter of policy that the minister should pronounce.
Right. Maybe, maybe, Comrade Minister, I can note that one and talk to it. Yes, Comrade.
Thanks, Chair. I think also the Chair of the Portfolio Committee should take this into consideration. I would imagine, Chair, that if you were going to look at the weight of the both pieces of legislation, the PFMA and then the Mines and Work Act, I think PFMA might be weighting over than the other one. So the other one should not contradict it. It should go in line with it. I'm trying to, it's my contribution to the, consideration in terms of amendment. But having said so, Chair, may I then proceed to the focus area that has been requested to deal with them. And then doubt, upfront, Chair, just remind the both the department and the commissioner that the address for 3 years, we have got no ways to, register our consent that we can't have an entity that goes for 3 consecutive clear, adverse opinion from the AG's office and no drastical steps that seem to be taken on board. If you were just to talk to the overall opinion that you have been obtaining and then pointing to one and the same areas for 3 years, what is the, the understanding of the department in dealing with this scenario? Are you considering to close the shop and run away? Are you intending to make it part of the department? What measures when you were looking at this, opinion for 3 years?
Chair, the address reports are really disturbing, and particularly because they've been consistent. It's been consistent underperformance, which we acknowledge is unacceptable. The first measure which we've taken, Chair, is that we've elevated the level of the official who is supposed to have oversight for the compensation commission activities to chief director level. The staffing arrangements, Chair, have also been a problem in that we've had only 42 staff members and purely administrative. And with the amounts of monies that have to be dispersed in CCOD, we thought that was inappropriate. So the first thing is that we have to bring competent people for technical work in CCOD. Those are administrative processes that I said will continue to provide support on. But there are other technical problems that have been reported, Chair, and there's a process in place. We've gone back to look at the report of the Auditor General to see what are those specific issues that have led to these adverse audit outcomes. And from that point of view, I must say that the Commissioner, Chair, and I would like to take this opportunity to say that it was not just appointing a chief director, but someone with accounting skill to at least ensure that the accounting activities, even in the absence of technical people, we can have a better oversight. There are certain administrative things that should have been in place. I mean, to have a strategic plan for the unit should have been placed. To have a risk management and evaluation of risks, particularly where you deal with huge sums of money. We thought it's also another important thing. The third one, Chair, is that we recognize that there should have been an evaluation, and we have a clear report of the interventions. There are certain things that have already been done since the beginning of 2010, and I would like to give the Commissioner an opportunity just to say exactly in those areas where there were major adverse audit outcomes, what is it that we've done to date, and what are the outstanding issues? I'd like to hand over to you.
No, let's leave it in the response that you've given.
Thanks, Chair. One, it is the cause for adverse opinion was related to leave revenue. which is clearly saying the monitoring, the accounting part of, you know, that particular revenue, it's not attended by the either the commission itself or the department is not effective in monitoring whether things happened as required by law. What can you say to us in that regard?
Thank you, honorable members, for this opportunity. What has happened is over the past 4 or 5 years, we've had problems with revenue, mainly because there were no processes addressing how are you supposed to record revenue, which we've now put in place in terms of we need to make sure that, for example, in this case, on the same second of each month, the accrual for revenue is raised based on the previous month's assessment. So that process is in place. The challenge has been we need to go back to as far as 2005 to correct the errors that have happened in the past, and that has been why most of these exercises are only going to be finished by the end of May.
Chair, I think one should sound appreciating the intention moving forward to do things better, but we cannot move away from the damage on the ground. We need to get corrective measures to say who was, by the way, sitting at this particular position. Where is this person as we are talking now? What measures, you know, in terms of corrective and discipline have been, you know, sanctioned to this particular person? And we always, you know, wanted a scenario where when you said we are taking this person for hearing and what have you, you don't more often refer to data capturers, receptionists, and the cleaners. You mean real people who are supposed to, you know, make difference. What are you doing in making sure that you address what they've caused the department, the entity to be waiting?
I'm sure, comrade, that even cleaners are still real people.
I understand, Chair, but I'm saying when you deal with where we are, the people, you know, who are called in big names, title.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether I'm going to keep quite right up to the end because it so happened, Comrade Chairperson, that the people, the main managers responsible, I predate them in the coming of the department, even though they know more than me now, both the DG and the commissioner. I think, Chairperson, you are going to, the type of questions you're asking are very relevant, but you're going to find them all the time, and I must be very honest with you. This structure has been very unfortunate. And in a way, when I came in, I discovered that it was put in a form of a freezer. It's quite unfortunate that the structure with so much money. And I did raise questions. Looks like the structure was put in a form of a freezer because, as I asked, that the decision was taken to transfer this entity to the Department of Labor. And I'm not trying to defend. I'm just giving what I was told. And during that period, it never happened, but nobody touched it. In other words, nobody. For instance, you've got an entity with a budget of about $1 billion being headed by a deputy director. I mean, nowhere do you find that type of a scenario. And when we ask why was a senior person not appointed, they said no, because it can go any time to labor. We don't want to interfere or intervene or do something that might prejudice the Department of Labor in the way they want to manage it. I then said, when is it going? Nobody knew. But then we subsequently decided, when the DG came in, that I'm putting that aside because I don't even know where the decision was taken, and start improving the structure. That's when then we started putting a commissioner at the senior level who is an accountant, who's still putting up the staff. In other words, we are rebuilding an organization which existed but was disowned by everybody and just put somewhere in the middle. So if anybody must be punished, it will be the senior people who were in charge, the younger ones who were there. I'm not sure whether they are responsible for that type of freezing a structure that is so important in government.
Are they younger in terms of age or in terms of education?
In terms of position, not age, I'm sorry.
Okay.
The junior ones, if I may say, not the younger.
Okay.
Yes. No. I don't think it's the junior people, it's the senior people who... I still don't understand how a structure that exists in government, you could just say because a decision was taken to send it away, we're not doing anything. Neither the department where it was supposed to go was doing anything, no department that is still holding it. So we have done away with that, and I can assure the House that these adverse things that were happening will no longer happen because the structure is starting to move now.
You see, Chair, I like that more than any, because when the Chair sitting here, it is the one who will be, you know, observing whether that will not occur. But here, we are dealing with what has already occurred. You can't shift it. It's there. It needs accountability. It needs, you know, to say, by the way, what causes that? Because what the minister is saying, Chairperson, in essence, is saying somebody misled the commission to say, relinquish your responsibility. You will be in another section. Is it possible to get who is this person? Who decided to undermine the law of parliament? To say I'm a law on myself. This thing is going to hope, you know, labor. While this piece of legislation, it's specifically saying health. You are accountable for this particular thing.
Do we have a sense of?
Yes, honourable member, we will investigate the historical past as to who exactly did not act on the decisions that were taken correctly. So, because there's been a couple of reports, if you recall, Minister and Honourable Chair, there was also the Taylor report that made firm recommendations about this measure, and based on that, it is for that reason that we started this process of engaging Treasury to look at how best we can make this entity operational, even in preparation for its move and functions. We will go back and investigate and prepare reports.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll give you that investigation report, but it would be appropriate if they can sound by how, you know, what time they can be done with that, if they can say in 2 months.
Can we get the response next week? By next week?
Yes, we'll work and revert back to you in a week's time.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Having said what you have said, we still remain to be sitting with 129.9 million, which because of failure to keep records, the AG said, I'm unable, you know, to say any word on this money. And the fact that you are saying there was this confusion that people, they were made to believe that they are going to labor, it cannot be then used as a reason to say 129.9 million was left, you know, at the corridors because people, they were not sure where to, who was responsible, who was supposed to have been accounting about this money, what happened to this person when he failed or she failed to say, this is what happened in response to the AG's question.
Like I said, Chair, we will look at that, but we can also say to you what we have done with respect to the 129 million. There is a report that is prepared, but the Commissioner can talk to that specifically, to the 129 million.
Yeah.
Let me just take you to the paragraph which we are referring to. The limitation in scope was actually relating to the corresponding period figures, which they couldn't vouch for. It wasn't actually the 129 million. So it was just the opening balance, which they couldn't verify. Which in this case, we've gone back to Ernst & Young, who at the time was preparing our books, trying to understand what was making up that opening balance. And we were unsuccessful. So the position that we've taken is to just write off the amount.
What do you mean unsuccessful?
Unsuccessful in terms of knowing what is actually in that balance. What happens is when you outsource the preparation of the income statement, of the financials, you run the risk that you won't understand how were they prepared and what was the basis of preparing them when they were prepared. And this is what happened to us here. Because now there are amounts, that we couldn't explain.
Hang on.
Just a minute.
Are you saying this work was not done in the commission's desk, it was done somewhere outside there?
The preparation of the financials, yes.
Yep.
There are no skills internally to be able to do that at the point.
This is sadness. I can't believe.
Just repeat that in English.
I can only do English. I know. I'm hands off. I can't pursue this live revenue further. Yeah, no, Gaspard, you are a class elector. Okay, last age of breath. So, I'm sure colleagues will then note and come and push in this bushy environment. Can I move to the next one?
Just a minute. I thought Hoshi will age. Now you all raising hands. Still?
Thank you, Chair. I want to go back to the comment that the Commissioner just said, that there were no skills internally to prepare the accounts. And also to the point that the Honourable Tobajan has already made with regard to accountability. Now, this situation, Chair, has carried on for many years. And what I would like the Minister please to explain is who is going to be accountable for this situation, having carried on year after year, where there were no skills in this department, this entity, to actually do the work. In other words, somebody has to carry the can. And it's not sufficient, I'm afraid, for the new DG to say that we will get a report. Specifically, I want to know from the Minister what actions are going to be taken against the previous DG, who allowed a situation to carry on where there were no skills in the section to even prepare internal accounts, year after year after year. That is the kind of accountability that we need to hear, please, from the Minister. Who is going to take responsibility for that appalling lack of implementation of the PFMA?
I think the challenge, Comrade Minister, is that the Act governing this entity had not been amended, and it appears there was no process of amending that Act that could have given an impression that this entity is now moving. Legally, there was nothing. The law still remained. And yet, as you rightly pointed out, it was just frozen and kept somewhere.
Chairperson, that's why I'm saying I'm not trying to justify it. Obviously, it was mismanagement at that time to just neglect the structure and say because it was going to go. It was just absolute mismanagement, if I have to describe it that way. But the question of whether you could go out in the public service and hold people to account who were there in the past who are no longer working for the government. I'm not sure whether that's possible. In other words, to chase and say some years back, this so-and-so was a director general in this department and this happened and I'm going to chase them. I'm not sure within the rules whether a minister has got the capacity or the ability to do that, except if there was a criminal case, which then must be reported to the police or the respective criminal agencies. But in terms of administrative functions, I'm not sure whether you could charge somebody for mismanagement or for not managing well when they are long gone.
Chair, thanks. You see, the reason for this engagement is for us, together with the entity and the minister, to identify key gaps. And then, based on our discussions, we then propose certain resolutions to the House. These become resolutions of Parliament. Now, an absolutely fundamental resolution regards your income levies. rely almost, well, very heavily on levies from qualifying mines and works. And when we engaged you, or the then committee engaged you in 2005, we all realized then, 2005 years ago, you did not know the number of qualifying mines, you did not know the number of qualifying works, therefore you did not know what kind of income over time to expect. And in 2005, Scopa said, please go and commission research and identify, at least identify those who should be paying you. Now, to the best of my knowledge, that hasn't yet been done. And the commissioner has been in her position now since June, that's almost a year. I would have thought her first priority of business was to ascertain where is my income coming from? Who must pay me on a regular basis? And to commission that research and to implement that Scopa resolution. Now, I want to know, has that been done? If not, why not? And if she could speak around that, please.
The mines that pay levies are the mines that are controlled by the Act. For the mine to be controlled by the Act, it has to be declared so by the Risk Committee, which is headed by the Chief Inspector of Mines. We know currently that the mines that are controlled are 260. That we know for a fact. So it is not unclear. The issue that we should be raising are we having enough controlled mines controlled? Are you hearing me? Which in that case, we are looking at amending the legislation to actually say the legislation must actually support us in actually making sure that we control mines, more mines than we are controlling currently. Because in this case, the Chief Inspector of Mines is actually in charge of calling the Risk Committee, not the Commissioner. Though at the end, we're actually on the receiving end in terms of the service that they render. So if they don't call the Risk Committee, we suffer, and it's not within our control.
In whose competence is it? In whose competence is
it's Chief Inspector of Mines.
Yeah, that Chief Inspector of Mines. Who does he or she report?
Department of Minerals and Energy.
I hope Minister like noted Leonie, because he is the Chief Inspector of Mines, reports to Minerals and Energy or Mineral Resources, but the outcome of their investigation come to help. And I think the import of Comrade Roy's question was, well, the 260 you know, but is this the complete list? I think that's the core question. And since the Chief Inspector of Mines does not report to the Department of Health, you are in a position to say, how many inspections have you done? Are you complying with the requirements of the Act? Have you done this? Have you not done that? And all that kind of stuff. I think that's the import of.
The resolution is quite specific. Go out and find out. Go and commission research. You need to establish this, because the answer I'm getting is a very uncertain one. Was that commission researched? Was the situation researched? Was their research establishing exactly these qualifying requirements? Was that done?
Through you, Chair, can I ask the Honourable Member to explain, because I'm not sure what are we trying to get from the research, because the number of mines that we collect levies from must be controlled.
I think your response will be we did not commission any research.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the long and the short of what you should respond to, because you may need to say to us, no, in determining which mines are controlled, in terms of the law, we're fully guided by the report of the Chief Inspector of Mines, whose report, as and when he has done it, gets sent to us. If he hasn't, there is nothing we can do. That's why I said the minister should note that, because then it creates a problem in the sense that there is no certainty. We know the 260, but are we certain that is the complete list? No. How then do we achieve certainty? The Chief Inspector of Mines will do his work, but how do we ensure that he does his work when he does not report to us? I think that's where it is, and that's where it needs to be it needs to be unlocked. Matladi?
And back to the issue that the statements were not done by the entity, but they were done outside. And this gives an input that consultants have been involved in preparing statements for the entity. We are interested in finding out the cost that the entity had in those consultants doing the work when people are employed to do it. In addition, I looked at the vacancy rate, and I want you to say if it was lack of skill that has led to your statements being prepared outside, or was it also exacerbated by the vacancy rate in the entity as well? Because in the previous financial year, out of the 50 people that have to be in the entity, there were 20 vacancies. So we'd like to find out skill versus vacancy rate. Thank you.
It's actually more a bit of both. It's both skills in terms of the financial skills, because you can see that in the vacancy rate, most of the vacancies are actually in the finance unit. So it is both.
All right. Cost.
The cost of the preparation for last year, it was 45,000, sorry.
Which company did you use?
In the previous year, we used KPMG.
All right. Mutambi?
Thank you, Chair. The commission appeared before us in March 2009, and by then there was an acting commissioner with the name of Mrs. T. Kaka. That's where we also made the recommendation in Scopa. It's a follow-up on the question that was raised. I believe this Ms. Kaka is still within the employ of the department. So, and by then she was the acting commissioner, of which responsibilities she's responsible for this. Most of DG, you can find the report with her on page 25 of the annual report to say this is the true reflection of what happened. So I think somebody is there who can be held accountable for this. We are raising it based on the fact that this has been recurring for more than 3 years. And then we cannot just fold our arms and say, it's done, it's gone, no, it's because this person we are referring to is still within the employ of the department. Secondly, it's on the issue of the consultants used to prepare the financial statements. One believes that when you hand over them, because those consultants, they are not on their own, they were being managed by the commission. Now to come and say to us, it's difficult to understand what the consultant have done, unless if it was a dumping scenario, then and it leaves much to be desired, because this consultant were given documents by yourselves to prepare the financial reports. And then as a issue, then it raises a question of how do you manage your contracts if you are using consultants, because I believe if you have hired the consultant, there are feedback meetings wherein you sit down and do review. So we want to understand how do you manage your consultants, and if that is the case.
Or how were they managed? And the lady, Miss Kaka, that's the person who was in charge at that time. And that's the person who ordinarily, in terms of the history, practically, should be able to assist why things happened, why things did not happen.
I think I have already answered this when I referred to the financial skills and the capacity. Due to lack of both, we had to outsource to the consultants. And for you to be able to actually manage somebody, you have to understand what they're doing. So due to lack of financial skills, that was also not done in a very efficient manner. Am I answering your question, ma'am?
just take it easy, Madam Commissioner. Just take it easy. I would assist if there's inadequacy in the response. Just give the response and leave it at that. Maybe the Department of Health, because of this dual accountability, what was the role of the department, especially in terms of assisting with the, you know, skills and capacity?
Chair, if you reflect back, the posts of the commissioner, there were about 42 posts. The number has been increased to 50. And of the 50, some of those posts are actually technical posts to bring in state accountants. And for that reason, we're hopeful, Chair, that it will deal with this problem of using accountants, consultancy instead of full-time staff. We are hoping that we'll be able to bring in about eight accountants, state accountants, full-time to work internally, and it will deal with this problem. At the moment, we were in the process of filling those posts.
All right, Dora.
So just a comment on the dual responsibility. I think we spoke previously last year when Ms. Kaka was here. We said that it's, in a sense, almost unfair to expect an assistant director, as she was at the time, to take responsibility for as accounting officer for such a huge enterprise. But having said that, I think the emphasis should shift to the DG of health to take that responsibility. You and your predecessor should have taken responsibility for this entity. And I'm pretty sure we're going to sit here next year again, despite what the minister says, because nothing has really changed up to now. There's still a dual responsibility between the commissioner and the DG of health. And for the type of money that we're looking at here, I believe the DG of health should take total responsibility, irrespective of what the law says in the mining Act, or the specific Act says of the entity. Until such time as there's clear clarity on where the buck stops. At the moment, the buck stops nowhere. It goes past both of them. And somebody must take responsibility, and I believe that person is the DG of health. But, Chair, can I, my question relates back to the question of controlled mines. I just want to get some clarity here. We were told that the current number is 260, and also in the report it says that the number of controlled mines have not increased due to the non-functioning of the risk committee. But the report talks about a number of 209. Has there been an increase since the report to now, or is the number static still?
What happens is some mines, they separate or they disaggregate from other mines, making them separate mines. But before, because they were controlled when they were still part of a bigger mine, they continue to be controlled. So you find that we are adding new mines, not because they are being controlled, because of the virtue of them being disaggregated from the bigger mines.
All right. Mangena?
Chairperson, I was listening to the Honourable Minister when he said it's difficult for them to look for a person who has worked in the entity and by now is no more there. They can't even know where the person is. But there's something that I've learned. If a doctor leaves swabs in somebody's abdomen, even after 20 years, that doctor is called to come back. Now, does it mean that it becomes difficult for us when we are really looking for our money, that we can't go and get this person to come and explain to us? And another thing that I wanted to ask is, Mrs. Kaka or Musizi, are they here? Is Mrs. Musizi here? Oh, she's Mrs. Musizi. And Kaka is not here this time. She's no more working for the entity. She's still working. Because I believe if she was here, she would be the one to answer Honorable Pretoria's question. It becomes a problem when you leave these other people who are supposed to come here and answer for themselves, and you are trying to answer for them, and we are now saying they are trying to protect that person. And we know you are not protecting the person, but if the person was here herself, she would be able to answer some of the questions that we had. Because if we talked to her last year, it means that we were able to ask her, why didn't you do 1, 2, 3, 4? Because you were here with us last year. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it was probably an oversight from our side, because she indeed signed this annual report, signed for it. So if there are questions that are historical about it, the fact that she was acting, irrespective of the fact that we had all complained about the inappropriateness of that situation, in terms of practical day-to-day issues, there should be some level of accountability. I think, Comrade Minister, as you can see, we really struggle because of the way things have been. It is really difficult to go into all these specific issues per se, but I think the broad and general picture has emerged, and I think you had painted it to give us a sense of where we're at. Maybe, I just want to give Honorable Steele and then Sir Chair, but maybe, I don't know, Chair, I wanted to check with you first, because I'm thinking maybe we could give the Minister just to say, where are we going, give us a sense, and then we leave it at that. But before that, I said I want to give Honorable Steele and then come to you, Comrade, and then see if we can bring this to a close. Honorable Steele?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'd just like to go back to my former question and remind the Minister that Section 81 of the PFMA defines financial misconduct as an offence, and that relates specifically to the sections which are enforceable in the PFMA, including sections 38, 40, 41, and 42, which are exactly the sections that we're talking about here. And if he wants to charge the former DG with financial misconduct for allowing this, what he called neglect and mismanagement, to carry on, then that is the section of the Act that he can use, and I would like him to explain whether he, in fact, he's going to do that.
Yes,
thanks. No, the first thing, I just want to thank you for inviting us as a committee to come here. At least it always helped us when we work together to understand some of the things that we don't understand well. But being here, it's not the first time that I'm here. I was here even last year. But one thing that is very clear, Comrade Minister, is that there are problems here which you have actually accepted. I don't think I agree with you, Chair, that probably we don't need to go further than what we have now. It's just a question of getting to know what is going to be done with the problem that is there, which is very big. But I'm still concerned about what the Chief Inspector of Mines was reporting somewhere. Was not reporting to the Department of Health. And even this other thing of the question of going to labor, which has not happened but has made it to delay. But at the same time, sir, much as there are problems, I see on the document there's some internal auditors. I wonder how have they been performing, because those are the people that are supposed to alert somebody that, look, there are problems in such and such an area. Having said all this, Chair, probably even ourselves were supposed to be oversighting, specifically the Committee on Health. Probably we have not really engaged them seriously to make sure that they understand that there are problems. But in any case, this is something that we're going to be doing from now on. Thank you, Chair.
I see the Chief nodding. So you must be saying the right things. Okay. Yes, Comrade Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. As my opening remarks indicated, yes, I'm confessing that this structure at one stage was left to be dysfunctional. There's no question about it. Now, our job with the DG is to try and rebuild it completely from the scratch, if I might say. For instance, the the lady who signed the audit report, I don't want to be a spokesperson, obviously, and that she might not be punished for wrongdoing. But I was just saying, you know, when you look at this structure and the responsibilities, and a person is hitting such a structure at that, you know, so junior as this lady was, obviously you just are at sea, you get lost. That's why our first step was to choose somebody who's very senior with accounting skills. The fact that the new commissioner is actually a CA shows that we're very serious in rebuilding the structure. The next step is to try and populate it with the appropriate skills. That's why so many posts, as the DG described, have been advertised to put financial skills in it, because this structure deals mostly with finance, financial management. That's why we are putting financially skilled people, not just managers. Even the issue of the audit, is it the audit committee? Yes. We have just appointed very competent people in rebuilding this process quite recently, so that the structure like that will have an audit committee. Obviously, Chairperson, if you have got a structure which has got such a huge budget, and that there's no staff, there are no skills, there are number of people who are there, very, very low staffing levels, very junior, no strategies, etc., you are actually going to experience this type of situation that you are experiencing. So at the moment, I would say it's a complete re-engineering, rebuilding of a structure that is so important to the functioning of the department. The issue of the chief inspector of mines, I don't think it will be a problem. It's a problem of the person reporting to the Ministry of Minerals, mines and minerals, because I think inspectors of mines do report there. There's no way an inspector of mine will report to me, because I know nothing about mines. But I think if the structure was working very well, if this inspector is not doing their job, the commissioner will then have to report to me, then I'll talk to the minister. And we can, for instance, agree with the minister in terms of maybe a memorandum of agreement or understanding that this inspector must report to us in such intervals. So the fact that maybe the inspector did not do anything is simply because maybe the structure was not following up. But from now onwards, now that we've got the commissioner, whose responsibility is also to collect revenue, who I think will be able to deal with this matter. I now that I'm aware of this problem, will call the minister to sign a memorandum of agreement, so that on a frequent basis, either the chief inspector of mines meets with the DG or I meet with the minister and we review the functioning of this structure, because I believe it's very important. I'm very sorry, Chairperson, that things have to be this way, but it's the reality of the situation that we're faced with. All that is left is for us to sit and reconstruct, and I promise that in the next financial year, most of these things will have changed, because we're not just folding our arms. The issue of the structure having to go to Department of Labor, as I'm saying, I don't know how that arose, in which meeting was it discussed, what was the rationale, but I'm saying for now, as long as the structure is with us, we need to manage it, and that's exactly what we're doing. If in future some act of parliament proposes that the structure must then go to the Department of Labor, then we'll do so. Because it was wrong to say because there was a thinking that it should go, then you hold back and you don't manage it, and that's why things are in a disarray. And I'm very sorry that has to happen that way, but definitely we can't leave that situation to go on any longer.
Well, Comrade Minister, I thought you would maybe three issues. One, in the accounting officer's report, the following activities are planned for 2010-2011. The first one is amendment of the Act. Where are we in terms of that process? I think the DG spoke about administrative arrangement to augment the competence of the Commission. But has there been no thought in terms of reconciling the Mines and Works Act with the PFMA so that the dualism or the parallelism, you know, is addressed. And I'm sure you would agree, Congress Minister, that this challenge, which is also in the accounting officer's report of communication not reaching beneficiaries, that is the inability to reach the people who are supposed to be served, is something that whatever capacity is being built must first and foremost be able to address, because that is why the entity exists, to be able to reach beneficiaries. And also the actuarial valuation, there are time frames. In the report on page 24, it indicates that the 2006 one was incomplete. Where are we on this? I think on this three, if you can have a sense on this three around amendment, communication, valuation, I think it will give us a sense that maybe. Yes, comrade. The fourth one. Okay, yeah, can you edit?
Could someone give us an update on the fraud? This question of fraud, page 17 of the annual report, in the amount of 107,150 rand occurred as a result of fraud. Could someone give us an update, please, on the status of those investigations? And quickly, while I'm at it, I was intrigued on page 16 of the annual report. There's this thing referred to as the Eastern Cape Project. Could someone please tell me what that is? I recall about a year ago, a march of a period of 2 weeks from ex-miners from the Eastern Cape, and I wanted to know if it was related. If someone could please tell me under provisions what that Eastern Cape project is. Just those two, if you don't mind, Chair.
All right, yeah, sure. And whether we have the Mpumalanga project or something else. Yeah. Yeah, I think if we can round it off on those ones. Well, whether it's UDG or the minister, if we can. All right, okay, fine.
Thank you, Chair. On the amendment of the Act, the team has prepared a technical draft that is currently being converted into a legal draft. We will be looking at this draft to prepare for submission to cabinet in the normal process that has been established for comment, public comment. The second one, Chair, I've got a dedicated communication person who's supposed to be communicating specifically with the stakeholders, and I would like to take up this specific responsibility to have this person also prioritize this area to communicate with beneficiaries. Chair, one particular issue, perhaps maybe, to talk about the amendments. There are a number of disjunctures in terms of the way different pieces of legislation have been put together. We've got COIDA, which is supposed to also deal with the administration and provisions of compensation, which is administered by the Department of Labor. We have OMDOA, which is ODIMWA, which is the one that is under the responsibility of the commissioner. Then we also have certain activities that reside with the Department of Energy, and then we have MBOD. So there are quite a lot of activities. And Chair, it is quite clear that there are different administrative processes that are related. And one of the things that I said when I cited the Taylor report was that there are certain strengths in certain agencies in terms of the administration. The discussion that we had with Treasury as to whether we could also take advantage of the functioning of the and realignment of certain compensation activities is one particular area that we think should strengthen what would be included in the amendment, and would like to prepare that brief background of these different administrative processes and systems that we have identified which I think are necessary to pull and consolidate to achieve alignment. The actual valuation, Chair, indeed it was not done. It is planned for, pardon? It's in progress, Chair, and I'll give the Commissioner an opportunity to respond to that. The fraud, where we are with regard to fraud and some of the refund that we've received from APSA, and as well as the Eastern Cape project.
Yes, the valuation, the incomplete valuation, or you also talk to that, okay.
Okay, to add on the incomplete documentation, what we do is we conduct awareness workshops at the mines with the probably claimants to teach them about completing the document and the supporting document that needs to come with the actual forms. The fraud has been referred to the SAPS for investigation, but in the process we have managed to get our money back from APSA, so it has been refunded in full. In terms of the Eastern Cape project, the strike or whatever, the demonstration that they had, it was actually twofold. One of it was mainly for labor, but some of it was mainly was for the Eastern Cape project. But it's a steering committee that is reporting to the Department of Labor as to the payment of those claims. But it was more for the payment of claims that they think it's not coming through when it should come through, and we are not actually receiving the applications for those claims.
I think on that one, is it related to the demonstrations we had at Parliament last year over a two-week period when these very old people, some very sickly people, came all the way from places like Lusikisiki, in the middle of the former Transkei. Is it related to that project? Because I really want to appeal to you to expedite it, if that is the case, and give us some kind of time frame as to when you were going to resolve it.
Through you, Chair, we only make a payment once we have an application. If we don't have an application, we can't make a payment. So all the applications that we've got up to date, the payments have been made up to date for the Eastern Cape project.
That is subsequent to the annual report. Chair, yes, Lamour and Akush.
I'm just interested in the Eastern Cape project. I happen to be coming from Eastern Cape, and I think when it started, I was actually the MEC for health in the Eastern Cape. It's a very confusing issue. The people that were here were actually toying because of not getting their money. But it's a confusing issue. The money that they are looking for is the money that was collected from the mines by the then Transkei government. And when the former Minister of Health, Dr. Mandru Shabalala, picked up that there was such an amount that was still in the bank as under Transkei government, they sent to the Eastern Cape government and said, there's this amount of money, can you trace who are the rightful owners of this money? And the Eastern Cape government, with the Premier's office, which was Mrs. Tofile then, they tried to look for those people, but unfortunately it fell onto the wrong hands of a person by the name of Mr. Nomazele, who actually organized his own people and said, you've got your money in Pretoria that you can be given at any time. So the people that started applying for that money were not the rightful owner of the money. But ultimately what happened is that they just said, okay, everybody who had worked in the mines, whether they are dead or alive, is going to be divided according to the numbers of people that had worked in the mines, and they were given. But Mr. Nomazele decided that because the money was not going through him, he continued to get another group of people to say, we still don't have the money, because he had promised a lot of people. So that's why it was continued. The fortunate thing is that ultimately he died. And then it...
Ultimately he died, or it died.
He died. Then when he died, then you couldn't organize those people and say, now you didn't get your money. But it's with labor. It's with labor, and it's something that we know very well.
Okay, thank you.
I thought you made a very good ruling earlier, but you are now leaving us again. We are reopening indirectly if you are not careful. I thought you said it looks like we may not, you know, reach any destiny. And then the minister can even elaborate, and he did so. He was beefed up by his, you know, supporting staff. I would urge that stick to where you gave us direction.
All right. Now, I think, comrade, the issues that needed to be responded to, I think, were not, what is the word? They were not more about the past that cannot be accounted for, like the question of the amendment, where are we? Like Honorable Steele sent me a note on page 18, going concern, as disclosed in note 20, but when you look at the annual report, there's no note 20. It ends at note 19. So I would imagine that before it came to Parliament, somebody should have gone, in fact, before it was produced, somebody should have gone through it. And so we don't know what was on note 20. Can we get note 20 sent to us next week together with everything else so we have an idea of... Well, can we...
Sorry, Chair, that is crucial because it determines the degree of material uncertainty.
Yeah.
And without that, we actually don't even have a quantification for just how much of a non-going concern this entity actually is.
All right. Okay. Yeah, no. Just send us note 20. That
would
be fine.
I just wanted to clarify that the going concern is actually linked to the actuarial valuation, so which we've already answered to, but we will send note 20.
Yeah, ma'am, this document refers us to note 20, and we say there is no note 20 here. It's not a good thing that it should come to Parliament with all these things. It might be that some of these things were considered minor in the commission. There's nothing minor to us. It does not reflect well, so it needs to be corrected. Send us note 20, and then at least the report will be complete, because this is an incomplete report. Comrade Minister, thanks very much for having made time, and I'm sure, as you would have noted, some of these matters required your political leadership to assure us and give us a sense of where we're going and how we're dealing with these matters. Also, if the issues and the challenges are so deep-seated and in a way are a product of decisions that might have been slightly more than just administrative. I think the decision to just put aside, unless if you had such chaos that anybody could do as they please. I think from our side, would want to say, irrespective of that supposed uncertainty, to the extent that the Act has not been amended, we expect the Department to take full responsibility and ensure that the Commission is fully functional and discharges of its responsibilities. And as the political head, you continue to be seized with the matter and ensure that it functions optimally. I want to thank the Auditor General's office. As always, we are indebted to you and also to our comrades. Thanks, comrades. Like I indicated, predicted, we have an early day today, Comrade Chair. Ngosikakhulu. Comrades, we'll meet tomorrow. We have our group meetings, and from half past 11, we'll have a short plenary. And just to indicate that the Friday hearing is frozen as well until. until they are noticed. But thanks very much, Comrade Minister DG and the Commissioner and the other members.